You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
That's right, it is Eurovision. Eurovision is back this week. I spoke to our European correspondent, Cameron Adams, about the war in Ukraine, Britain's new Prime Minister, and much more. Here he is now. Can you give me an update on what's happened with the war in Ukraine over the past week?
Yeah, Ukraine has continued to be hit by Russian missiles and drone strikes, which are attacking civilian infrastructure and power plants, causing blackouts and stress on the country's electricity system. Ukraine's Deputy Prime Minister Irina Verushchek today urged Ukrainian refugees to not come back until spring in efforts to not overload the country's energy infrastructure. Today, European officials met in Berlin to discuss the reconstruction of Ukraine after the war. The World Bank estimated the cost to rebuild at around 350 billion euros, while German Chancellor Olaf Scholz stated that it will be a challenge for generations. Russian authorities have been widely claiming of plans for Ukraine to detonate a radioactive dirty bomb on Ukrainian territory, a claim Russia repeated again today at the UN. Ukraine and its allies have denied the allegations as, quote, transparently false. And Ukraine has invited UN observers into the country for monitoring. In the Russian-held city of Kherson in southern Ukraine, Russian authorities have urged civilians to evacuate ahead of a potential counterattack. Ukrainian armed forces have been fighting a counteroffensive since the end of August to retake the region. And lastly, open-source investigative outlet Bellingcat has released a report alleging information on the Russian military officers behind the missile strikes on Ukraine. I would highly recommend having a read through, as it's very, very interesting.
Last week, I asked you if UK Prime Minister Liz Truss would make it to the end of the year as the Prime Minister. It turns out she didn't last until the end of the week. What happened there?
Yeah, she only lasted a couple more days after we spoke on Tuesday night. So she had an absolutely chaotic Wednesday. During Prime Minister's questions, she re-reversed her statement about keeping pensions to rise with inflation after ruling it out the previous day. Later in the afternoon, her Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, was sacked after sending confidential information from her personal email address. On the way out, she left a strongly critical letter of Liz Truss. And finally, on Wednesday night, there was a vote on a Labour amendment on fracking, which was also seen as a confidence vote in Liz Truss. There were chaotic scenes in the House of Commons with allegations of Conservative MPs being manhandled as they voted and reports of crying afterwards. Senior Tory backbencher Sir Charles Watkins said in an interview afterwards that it was utterly appalling, and while discussing the chaos, stated that he, quote, had enough of talentless people putting their tick in the right box, not because it's in the national interest, but because it's in their own personal interest to achieve ministerial position. So that following afternoon, Liz Truss was gone. With Labour and opposition parties continuing to call for a general election, the Tories instead chose to run a short leadership election for the Conservative Party. Candidates needed the backing of at least 100 Conservative MPs by Monday afternoon, and it would then go to another vote to Conservative Party members. I'd argue that this short leadership race didn't help negate Sir Charles' previous statement. Boris Johnson, after having resigned for lying only 3 months ago, stated that he had the required 100 MPs, although he wouldn't actually share a full list of his supposed supporters. And there was some pretty comical flip-flopping of MPs for their support for Boris. Nadeem Zahawi, whose resignation helped kick off the downfall of Boris Johnson's administration, he publicly backed him on Sunday before changing his mind later that day and supporting Rishi Sunak. The same thing also happened to Foreign Minister James Cleverly, publicly backing Johnson one day and then changing his mind the next, as it looked like the tables were turning. After Boris Johnson struggled to make the 100, Penny Mordaunt was the only other likely contender. She bowed out just before the Monday deadline, leading Rishi Sunak to win.
Who is Rishi Sunak and what will his new government look like?
Yeah, he will be the youngest Prime Minister in modern British history and the first to be a person of colour. Having worked as a financial trader in America, he is also the richest Prime Minister, with his family fortune worth over £700 million. That's twice that of the King. His new cabinet was announced today, with some of Truss's picks staying. Suella Braverman, she's back as the Home Secretary, so expect the policy of deporting refugees to Rwanda, which she had earlier stated as her dream, to stay in place for now. Judgment on the deportations is due to be delivered by the UK courts next month. And Jeremy Hunt will continue on as Chancellor ahead of the budget review due next Monday. The UK faces a tough challenge ahead. In Sunak's speech today, he stated the country faces a profound economic crisis and that difficult decisions lay ahead. with post-COVID, the war in Ukraine driving energy prices up, and Brexit, you know, it's how will the UK bring down its record high 10% inflation, as well as juggle tens of billions of pounds of UK debt? Will it borrow even more and borrowing costs are higher thanks to Liz Truss's mini budget? Will it raise taxes? Will it return to austerity? And how will the UK try and go for some form of economic growth? Compared to Truss, Sunak might be perceived as some kind of centrist messiah, but he is very much on the centre right. Although when he was Chancellor during the pandemic, he did push through the wage support schemes. If he and Hunt do bring back austerity, which is quite likely, I think that'll be a very hard sell to the British public. You'll have a Prime Minister with multiple million-pound mansions calling for the ordinary Brits to take the brunt of it, who are already facing a cost-of-living crisis. There have already been waves of strike action this year, from transport workers to postal staff. The NHS in England is also under stress, with a waitlist for consultant-led care topping 7 million people this month, and NHS bosses warn there's no more fat left to trim. There's also challenges too for other nations of the UK. There's continual calls by Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon for a second independence referendum, as well as potentially another round of elections in Northern Ireland if a government can't be formed this Friday. This is due to disagreements over the Northern Ireland Protocol. All of Europe, I think it's fair to say, all of Europe is having tough economic times due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The extra compounding issue for the UK, though, is and the reason for all of this political chaos the past few years, is where does it go post-Brexit? You know, the Leave campaign was campaigning on sunny promises it wasn't really responsible for delivering. And the UK has spent decades of economic and regulatory alignment with the bloc it has since left. The OBR earlier this year said that Brexit would have a long-term cut of 4% of the UK's GDP, which is essentially the amount it's trying to fund now. So how does it make up the shortfall? You know, like Joe Biden, he's ruled out a free trade deal with America anytime soon. There's a free trade agreement with India due to be closed this week. However, some critics give too much to India compared to the British benefits. So I think it's these questions around a post-Brexit UK will be the biggest challenge for the current Prime Minister, as well as most likely the one to come after him too.
Now, in other news, a classified report into Europe's controversial border agency Frontex was leaked earlier this month. What was alleged?
Yeah, the EU's anti-corruption agency OLAF has alleged, quote, serious misconduct against some members of Frontex. The 120-page report into allegations stemming from 2020 was leaked to German outlet Der Spiegel earlier this month, who released it in full. The report notes of Frontex staff witnessing or concealing knowledge of illegal pushbacks of asylum seekers from Greek territory in violation of asylum seekers' fundamental rights. It also spoke of a culture of fear within the agency over reporting misdoings and raising questions over how it will continue to operate in Greek waters. When the report was released, when the report was given to MEPs early this year, it led to the resignation of then Frontex director Fabrice Leggeri. Frontex's budget has seen a dramatic increase over the years, from 150 million euros in 2015 to almost 750 million in 2022. It's responsible for guarding the European Union's border by land and sea, primarily working in the Mediterranean. According to the UNHCR, 110,000 refugees and migrants have crossed the Mediterranean Sea into Europe this year, with over 1,500 reported dead or missing. The leaked report has received little media attention this time around, with Frontex responding that these practices were of the past and is committed to delivering a well-functioning and legally compliant agency.
And finally, Europe's space agency has hired SpaceX for upcoming launches. How come?
Yeah, it's been announced that Elon Musk's SpaceX will replace Russian Soyuz rockets in two upcoming European Space Agency missions. The Euclid Space Telescope and the Hera probe are due to be launched in 2023 and 2024, respectively. SpaceX's entry into the European space ecosystem comes as competition to Airbus's Ariane rocket system. The French Ariane 6 has been lagging behind SpaceX. However, Ariane Group CEO Andrew Hubert Roussel this week insists that it can catch up. There are two other European missions due to be flown, which are Soyuz, which is still up in the air. There was another aerosol and cloud probe called EarthCare, which will go on the Italian Vega rocket system as well.
That was Eurovision with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.